Free FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pawhuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, ABS Performance, Patriot GMC Hyundai, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. Good morning, and it is a Saturday morning. Larry is over at the other microphone, ready to answer your questions. Good
morning.
You
bet. Charlie, good morning.
Nice to have
you. It's 62 degrees out there. You
it
need
is.
To do better than that.
How much better do I need to do?
You need to go probably about 15 to 20 degrees cooler than that for this time of the year.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll put the order in.
Yeah,
it will happen.
Looking at the weather forecast, I think the weatherman decided to take a vacation.
We're kind of stuck with the temperatures.
All week long, same. It's like a Las Vegas forecast. If you've ever gone on the weather service and typed in Las Vegas, Nevada, and look at their forecast, or even San Francisco, same thing. What a job.
It requires very little training, apparently.
Yes, I am a weatherman for Las Vegas television, and I just play the same tape every day.
And no wonder he looks like he always has the same suit on.
Okay. Exactly. But anyway, so we've got pretty good weather coming up for doing some gardening, but it's not necessarily good weather for fall color. So we need to get on the ball.
Okay.
So anyway,
need some cooler nights, temperatures down into the
in the 40s. Garden right now. We need to be thinking about and doing actually fertilizing your fescue grass.
Okay.
It's a great time to do that right now because it's getting ready to kind of wake up and turn into a beautiful carpet of green for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs something on which to feed for it to do that.
Okay.
So a good fertilizer, if depending on your nitrogen levels in your soil, will vary exactly what you use on the soil. You also have to consider the phosphorus and potassium levels in the soil, too, and the soil pH.
Mm-hmm. What's the best optimum for fescues?
6.5 to 7 on your pH.
Okay.
And for the most part, the lawns in this area qualify for that. But a lot of the fescue lawns are associated with shade.
Mm-hmm.
And typically in the shady areas, those areas have been traditionally populated by oak trees.
Mm-hmm. Which changes the pH.
Changes the pH also. And if you have a sandstone parent material, it does very little to change that pH because it's made of a limestone with some iron content in it, and it tends to run a bit low in pH.
Mm-hmm.
So if your grass isn't doing too well, you try. Maybe it's a little chemistry in the soil that isn't quite right.
Uh-huh.
You might consider having it analyzed.
Okay. And you have some kits that can give some results, but I think I hear you leading up to take that soil sample to the office in Dewey and let the folks at the Extension Service do it for you.
Extension Service will do a very good job of giving you a good broad spectrum analysis of what's wrong with your soil, or what's right with it for that matter. But you need to make sure you take a soil from 4 inches below the surface of the ground,
mm-hmm.
rather than on the surface. Because there can be some variability between what goes on the top and what goes really down in the root zone.
4 inches down, you could be hitting rock. You may not get soil 4 inches down.
Oh, you must know my yard very well.
Only from experience in digging in mine. But oh.
I think they scattered a little dust on top of the rock and called it done.
Yeah.
But anyway, you do want to take a good sample about 4 inches deep to ensure that you get something from the root zone.
Okay.
And don't take it from one place. Just take it from various parts in the yard. If you have an area that's a trouble zone, it could be environmental rather than chemical with the soil. So you want a good broad base.
Okay.
So anyway, so with that in mind, it is time to do something about the fescue grass. It is time to do nothing with Bermuda grass and zoysia grass.
Do not fertilize that stuff.
So just mow it. I went 2 weeks this last time period without mowing the grass,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't have the typical stolen growth crawling across the sidewalk. If I were to do that in the midsummer, there wouldn't be a sidewalk.
No.
For the stolen growth on your Bermuda grass, but it slowed down an awful lot. So it's getting, it's preparing itself for the winter.
Particularly, I think, remembering the sidewalk out in front of the house where I grew up, it was a brick sidewalk, so we were constantly trying to pull the grass out from in between the bricks and the sidewalk.
Yeah. Something for the kids to do before iPhones, yes.
I spent a good time pulling grass out of that sidewalk.
You bet, but anyway. So you want to make sure that you don't really, and don't get slickered into buying a, quote, winterizer, unquote, for Bermuda grass. It's not meant for Bermuda grass. It's meant for fescue grass or perennial rye or something like that.
Kentucky blue, whatever, yeah.
Something like that. So anyway, that's kind of the low down on the grass. So moles are a bit of a problem, too. People have been having some troubles with moles. And in looking at what needs to be done with it, you might consider marigolds, planting some marigolds around the yard. That does help do a lot because they really don't like them. And there's some castor oil applications you can get. There's a granular castor oil and a liquid form of castor oil you can get to help keep these little critters under control.
Marigolds, huh?
Yeah, and castor beans, too.
Everett Dirksen knew something. That was his feast. There's a marigold festival in Pekin every year. Pekin, Illinois, his hometown, has a marigold festival about this time. It seems September or early October. Yeah.
The first white one was named after Dirksen.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I was living in Illinois when that happened. I was just a kid. And I still remember that. And he is such a great politician.
Yes.
Super guy.
He knew how to take care of his constituents very well, but Pekin was only 22 miles from where I grew up. It was one of our high school team's rivals every year, so I knew a lot about what goes on in Pekin.
Okay. So anyway, we drifted off those. Yeah. So we talked about castor oil and marigolds and Everett Dirksen, but anyway. Some marigolds, castor beans, there are some other plants that'll work to help control them. But the most popular remedy, it seems to be, to use the castor oil. And you have to be persistent with it. One application probably will not work. I've got a terrible problem with moles in my yard. And I've tried this and that and everything else, but I have yet to try the castor oil. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give that a shot and see what happens.
Okay.
But yeah, this morning I was getting into the truck and
something poked their nose up, huh?
Well, what you're doing, they're crawling across the rock and just lifting it up off the rock in the yard. So they're a bit of a problem. So
yeah, we do have a call. We'll say good morning, caller. You are on the air with Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
He was talking about using castor oil for moles.
Yes.
Will it hurt pets?
No. It might tend to loosen them up a little bit, but it really won't hurt your pets.
They've already been there.
Well, and of course, that's not all bad for the soil either. A little bit of extra,
organic
material for the soil.
It's harmless. What the castor oil is actually an irritant to the moles, and they go elsewhere.
They go elsewhere. Good. Looks like we dug it up.
I know, they're terrible. I have to set my mower all the way on high in order to mow my grass.
Yeah.
Just because of the mole problem.
Will it get rid of armadillos?
Maybe. I don't think so. Armadillos are a bit more aggressive than moles, and they're a bit more, what's the word I want to use? They move around a lot, gregarious, I guess. Than the moles are. So they're a tough one to control.
Well, they got that coat of armor on. They think nothing can hurt them. So
yeah.
Well, nothing can.
Not really.
Tires, maybe.
We've got both.
Oh, wow! You really got a problem. So
yeah.
We actually did a yard one for somebody one time. He spent a lot of money on this yard. It's just beautiful. Fescue sod. We prepared the soil and all that. Got a phone call the next morning. It looked like an army had gone through it.
The
armadillos had just, because the soil's loose, they just snubbed it like crazy.
Yeah. That castor oil, is it granulated or liquid, or how big does it come?
There are two forms of that. There is a granular type of castor oil, which basically is a castor oil impregnated granule. You have to water it in the ground. And there is a liquid one also that you apply directly to the ground through a hose and sprayer. Or it comes in an RTU, ready-to-use container.
Okay.
Well, you put it on the end of your hose, and it effectively gets the castor oil distributed on your yard rather easily.
All right.
But you can't do it just once and expect it to work. You have to be persistent with it.
Oh, you have to do it over and over again.
Well, yeah, because the moles, get a night cam out at your house and you watch them crawl across the street and go to your yard. Okay, what was your first name, or please?
Sue?
Yeah. Okay, Sue, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, and good luck on your mole problem. And like you said, be persistent. So you're asking Sue's name and everybody else's name?
We have a six-pack of pansies to give away, or more than that. I've got six-packs. That's 36 six-packs.
No.
No, it isn't. It's 36 pansies.
Yeah.
Altogether. And a six-pack of fall veggies. It's not too late to get the broccoli out and the cauliflower and whatnot. Cabbage, we have some of those too. So.
Okay.
So go ahead and give us a call, and you have a very good chance because we've got 12 of them to give away.
Wow.
So there won't be anybody fighting over it out at the front door, you know.
There you go. Nothing worse than a fight out by the front door.
Exactly.
I try to cover it in a news story, and then people get upset they came here because we won. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. Your calls in just a moment.
Fall has arrived, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is now stocked up on pansies, garden mums, ornamental kale, and more. Plus, new shipments of trees and shrubs have arrived ready for the fall planting season. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Now's the time to seed your lawn. Green Thumb has fescue seed and all sizes of 5-star premium blend that will make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Green Thumb Nursery open 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday, Sunday noon to 5.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
The numbers to get you on the air for this edition of Green Country Gardener. Hey, Larry, what's going on at the nursery this week?
Pansies, violas, chrysanthemums. They're all blooming right now.
Okay.
We are selling those pansies like crazy.
This is the time of year to get them in, right?
And they're the most beautiful plants.
Really?
Oh, they're gorgeous. We get the Super 6 packs, so they have a nice big root system on them. Now, as time progresses, though, the six-pack, even though it's a super six-pack, really won't survive very well in the winter. And so, because of that, we start to carry the four-inch pansies. The end of October, 1st of November. So they will survive the winter better. But you want to get your root system established on your pansies
now and get them established so that they will be big enough, have enough root system out there to draw what they need.
You don't have to remove all of your summer annuals to plant the pansies.
Okay.
You can take out just a few of them or trim them back a little bit and put some pansies in between. So it's time to do that. Or when you do plant your summer annuals, think what's going to happen right now in late September, early October, about what you might want to plant.
Leave some space for future expansion.
Exactly. And also tulips and daffodils. Time to plant those too.
Think spring.
And plant trees and shrubs. Actually, one day this last week, we planted 14 trees in different houses here, all the way from Nowata to, golly, the other side of town. I mean, we just loaded up the truck. had a good old time.
As far as weather for planting, you had some good temperatures for it last week.
It's excellent weather. You're right. We also transplanted a few plants for people here and there, too. And they did fine. So the nights are relatively cool, but you need to do better than that for it to really be nice.
Yeah.
So transplanting can be done if you really put your back into it right now.
Okay.
But if you don't want to put your back into it and really dig up a 200-pound clump of dirt or whatever, you might want to wait a little bit later.
wait till about November-ish or something.
Right. So plant also some shrubs for fall color. We have a good selection of burning bush right now and all kinds of nandinas that turn color in the fall, too.
Okay.
So we're ready for that. We got a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. Is it too late to put down pre-emergent, like surf land or whatever, on Bermuda?
Well, because the weatherman has kind of been asleep at the wheel. No, it is not.
Okay.
So, good. And as time progresses from, say, the 1st of October right now, as time progresses, the effectiveness of that pre-emergent will become less and less and less. Okay. Because the weeds will start growing.
Does it work for both fall and spring applications?
Yes, it'll work also for crabgrass control and other things. There are different. Protamine is the most popular one, but there are several herbicides out there that are suitable for both applications, yes.
So protamine is better than...
It's good for fall blooming things and whatnot. But spring, the old Baylan and other things are good for that too. But for the fall weeds, you might want to consider using a good broadleaf pre-emergent like protamine. It'll work rather well.
And then I have some stuff growing that has little tiny, I'll call them daisies,
mm-hmm.
little tiny white flowers that
petals
around it like that.
So they
come up in the springtime?
No, it's right now.
Oh, okay.
That's a wild aster.
Okay. And it broadleaf or what?
It's a broadleaf. And okay. the leaves are extraordinarily hairy on them, so you want to probably put a bit more surfactant in your spray when you do put it on them.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
On your first name, please?
Chris.
Chris. Okay, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. And surfactant really does help out on some of those things.
It does. A lot of these weeds have a defense mechanism, which is chiefly used for fungus control, and in that the hairs on the leaves are closely associated, and that tends to make the water not touch the leaf.
Right.
Because asters, for instance, are highly susceptible to mold and fungus and whatnot. And if they have that layer on there, the water will just beat up and fall off. But surfactants don't typically occur in nature when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
So you can circumvent that defense mechanism by putting a surfactant in with your spray. Now, typically, you want to use a spreader sticker. It's a bit more effective than soap.
Okay.
So the little bottle or spreader sticker isn't that much, and it's highly, highly concentrated, so it doesn't take a whole lot.
And you've got that available at the nursery?
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's control. There's all these little mechanisms that plants have and insects have that you have to kind of work around.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, too, when you're using your pesticides. Know your pest. Okay, we talked about trees and fall shrubs, pansies, and cabbage and kale.
Mm-hmm.
When you do plant your pansies, make sure the soil is really quite loose. We recommend using some Back to Nature or some Happy Frog.
Okay.
When you plant your pansies.
And that gives all kinds of extra trace elements and other things that organic items that are in do good things for the soil.
Exactly. Trace elements and mycorrhizal fungi and all kinds of cool things that make the soil good for plants. So humus and humic acid and so on. And bat guano is really good.
Wow.
So you might consider, you can try some Happy Frog. People have had very good luck. We've had a lot of repeat customers on that too.
Mm-hmm.
They try it out and, whoa, things just wake up. So they go to put it on different parts of the garden. So it's for really good success in the garden. It's real worth it. Well worth it. And the just a regular old, here I say regular old, a few years ago it was rather uncommon, but the regular old cotton burr compost works rather well too.
Mm-hmm.
You will want to augment your compost application with the fertilizer, though, when you do put it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because it...
It has some degree of plants, but immediate availability is just not there. So
got
you
it.
Might
okay.
want to give it some fertilizer when you do put it on there.
Okay.
We do a lot of that when we do landscapes. We put some milorganite down with our plants, and it just makes the holly just a beautiful dark green color. So milorganite is another good source of fertilizer, too.
Okay. So,
and it's safe to use.
Yeah, because it's a organic product, it kind of builds its own safeguards in there. On
right. If you notice the numbers on the milorganite, the numbers on it are really, really kind of low compared to, say, a chemical fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that number, and you kind of have to understand how this works with the USDA, that is the fertilizer that is immediately available to the plant when you put it down.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of the organics is it keeps on disseminating fertilizer over time. It doesn't give it all at once. It gives it over a time period. so it's going to last longer.
Okay.
And there's some other elements in there that require microbial action for it to become available to the plants. So something like a melorganite or the color star or other things like that, the organics that we carry, varieties of plants, the plant tones, also have these organics in there. It keeps fertilizing over a longer period of time. So the numbers are low, the initial cost is higher, but it works over a longer period of time.
So in now just longer period of time, you're talking what, like 3 months, 4 months?
Sure.
Up 6 months?
3 months or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And whereas if you use something like a liquid type fertilizer, it's
all right there.
It's there and then it's gone. Now, we've experienced a lot of deficiencies due to all the rain we've had this last spring, summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. As Noah's Ark goes bubbling down the water road, yes, thank you very much. And that caused a lot of leaching of fertilizers in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So if your plants are just kind of not doing well, and I see a lot of this, especially with people's azaleas, because azaleas are planted in a highly organic, and the water tends to go through it and takes the nutrients with it. If you're and the leaves get smaller and they get yellower on your azalea, so if you're experiencing that problem, you might consider using a fertilizer.
Okay.
On your azaleas, even in the fall, it won't make it grow. The growth is regulated by the length of day, but it'll be good for the plant.
And particularly on what, the middle number, as far as, or does it?
Well, it depends on
your recommendation as far
it
as.
It depends on the condition of the plant. For instance, if you have a hydrangea.
Uh huh.
And I'm probably going to get flooded with calls on hydrangeas now. They have nice-sized leaves, but they're simply not blooming. In that case, yeah, you will want a phosphorus boost.
Okay.
Superphosphate will work very well. Or bone meal works rather well, too, for that, which will help increase the phosphorus level so it has the energy able to put on the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But if the leaves on the hydrangea are smaller and they're kind of mottled, in other words, there's some yellow in with the green, then it could have a nitrogen deficiency as well. So then you want to use a fairly balanced fertilizer. So the probably in all cases, the melorganite would be a good choice because it is slowly available to the plant. It won't grow so fast that it can't tolerate the heat.
Got it.
So
you take a prescriptive approach then. Take a picture of what your plant's doing and take the picture in to Larry.
Right. I went to a house a few weeks ago, and her hydrangeas are beautiful plants. And they just weren't very tall, and there are some coloring problems on the leaves, too. It's in a limestone area.
Mm-hmm.
The next-door neighbor had beautiful hydrangeas, blooms all over and everything. They're gorgeous. They were both on the east side of the house, a very similar environment.
Mm-hmm.
But hers weren't doing very well. So I said, you just need to fertilize them.
We have a caller. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. I got a section of my yard that I noticed was dying, and I think the armadillos had been out there rooting around, and I was looking, and you can just pick up pieces of sod, I mean fairly big pieces, they're not attached to the ground, and there's grub worms in there. This time of year, what do I do about that?
Sounds like you might have either army worms, or which are not very common in this neck of the woods, or a lot of grub worms. So
yeah.
Looking
underneath the sod, there are a lot of grub worms.
Yes, and that's typical when you can peel the sod back, you got a grub worm problem, an infestation, if you will. So statistically, if you want to be statistical about it, you can take a square foot of area and dig it up and count the grub worms in it. And if you have a number greater than 10, you have an infestation. If you have one or two or three, you're probably okay. I wouldn't worry about it too much. So to control the infestation, actually fall is a good time to do that. A granular applied fertilizer, you put it on with your fertilizer. Insecticide, you put it on with your spreader and water it down. Will be an effective control for that. There's resmethrin, deltramethrin, and other pyrethroid-based insecticides that'll work against them.
Okay. Do beneficial nematodes do anything for them? Oh, well, I mean, get in the way of the grub worm?
As far as grub worm control, I'm not overly educated on beneficial nematodes as far as grub worms are concerned.
Okay.
You might do some research on it, but I'm sure there is a species that will do a lot to control them.
Okay, but fall, at least as far as the insecticide, fall's a good time.
It is, because they're becoming quite active right now. They're feeding in order to tuck away for the winter.
Oh, me. Okay. All right. I will probably be out there Monday and see what I can do to make them not quite so happy.
Exactly. Okay. And your first name?
Mike.
Mike. Okay, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. And again, be listening near the end of the program. He's got all kinds of certificates. And based on the current number of phone calls, I think if you call, you're probably going to win something.
Right.
918-336-1400. We'll continue in just a moment.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Now's the time to reseed lawns, and Peter's True Value carries brand name seeds like Scott and they very own blend Phil's Mix design for just this area. Use Phil's Mix to reseed your yard now, and next spring your lawn will look its best. Peter's also has everything you need to prepare the soil for planting, from rakes to spreaders with brand name fertilizers to help your lawn grow strong. Pick up a bag of Phil's Mix Seed and reseed your lawn today. Phil's Mix Seed is sold only at Peter's True Value in Dewey at 1865 North Osage. Peter's True Value, behind every project is a true value.
918-336-1400, the telephone number to call and get your question on the air for Larry. Like this caller, good morning, you're on the air. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ask a question about grass.
Grass, yes.
We recently moved into a new house and been working on it. Now it's time to work on the yard.
Right.
It's primarily Bermuda grass, but there is a lot of crabgrass, and we noticed this past spring a lot of dandelion.
Yes.
All the good stuff takes over when you don't treat it.
Exactly.
So when is the best time to start treating? Is it fall, summer, or spring?
For
grass and all those good things.
Have you put the grass down yet?
No.
Okay. A cleanup application of Roundup would do a very good job of controlling the existing population. And putting a pre-emergent on the grass after it's established will do a good job of help keeping it under control. Now, keep in mind that little prepositional phrase there, after it's established. Because a lot of your pre-emergents are actually very mild soil sterilants, and they can inhibit the growth rate of grass, especially Bermuda grass. This time of year, you don't want to inhibit that. Because it's really, Bermuda grass is sort of going to dormant pretty soon.
Which is why I didn't immediately jump up in surprise when you said Roundup, because Roundup works on actively growing plants.
Right, but he hasn't put the grass in yet.
Okay, yeah.
And you use it as a cleanup to get rid of what's there. And after 7 days, you can do about anything with it. And then, say, a couple of weeks, check your Bermuda grass, and if it's rooted in pretty well, in other words, you lift up a corner of the sod, and if it's difficult to pull up, it's getting rooted in, it's getting established, then you can go ahead and use the average application, not a strong application of a pre-emergent herbicide, which will help control the sprouting of seeds. Now, there's going to be if you're going into the wilderness, wild areas, there are going to be some seeds there, and you're going to get some weeds coming up in the spring. It's inevitable, but there won't be as many of them coming up.
Okay.
And then you can do spot applications, a post-emergent spot application throughout the winter with some Roundup. Of the wayward dandelions that didn't get killed and so on.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay, and your first name?
Larry.
Larry, okay.
It'll be an easy one for you to remember.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the phone call. Good luck on the lawn.
right, thank you all.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. Good morning. Well, that one didn't stick around long enough. We'll ask him to give a call back. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. And planning for the landscape, now where you're kind of getting into your active planting time because you're not going to be as busy planting.
Right. Well, actually, we're very busy planting right now. It's an excellent time to do landscape work. Okay. You have a caller?
We do. Yeah, let's go ahead and take that one. Say good morning. You're on Green Country Gardener.
Yes, I was a little confused. My question is, can you use a broadleaf weed killer instead of Roundup? Because I still have vegetables for like crabgrass or dandelions or whatever.
Yes. Well, actually, a broadleaf will kill your vegetables, too.
Yeah, they will.
Oh yes, yeah. There's no, they can't differentiate between a dandelion and a tomato. So the broadleaf works physiologically through the plant itself. It can't be really specific like that. However, you can do a specific application of Roundup.
As long as it's not too windy.
Roundup works through leaf absorption, and for the sun part, so do the broadleaf weed controls too. But the weed control is a hormonal type. Typically, a 2,4-D or Trimec is a hormone type insecticide. It causes the plant basically grows itself to death, whereas Roundup blocks the production of a protein in the plant. So it's a very specific application.
So the Roundup would be better in my lawn, but just be careful it doesn't drift to my vegetables?
Yeah, but if your lawn is green, it'll kill your grass too.
Don't want that.
So you might consider using Roundup or use just a heavy layer of mulch in the vegetable bed. Some people I know use newspapers in their vegetable garden to help control weeds. Works rather well with the mulch applied on top of that. But an application of, say, Roundup in the vegetable bed on a very still day and at the proper percentage. Don't overdo it on percentage because the vapors can kill a lot of your vegetable plants. And maybe a broadleaf application in the lawn to control the dandelions and whatnot.
Okay. Well, my vegetables are away from my front lawn.
Okay.
But not too far away.
Right. Keep in mind how these chemicals work. You have to understand really quite how they work before you really apply them. So ask questions.
Roundup usually, I mean, I know it can travel a little bit due to wind and that sort of thing, but mostly it works on whatever it's been sprayed on, whatever it's touching, right?
Right. Roundup, and there are two plants that are very sensitive to Roundup, and that is the crepe myrtle and the tomato plant. They're very, very sensitive to Roundup. And you just go to your tomato and say, Roundup, and it'll just shrivel up.
Don't want that,
yeah. No, they're very, very sensitive. So in the garden, weed pulling is probably one of the better ways, and a mulch layer. It could be anything from hay or something, a good thick layer of hay. I like to go the organic route on that anyway. It helps control the weeds rather effectively and saves moisture and adds nutrients and da-da-da-da-da. But in the yard, it's a very artificial environment, and things like to invade that, so...
Okay. Well, my other question is, can I use a grub control now from the moles?
Yeah.
Or is it too late?
If you use a grub control, a lot of times the mole populations will diminish, or they might even get worse trying to, looking around, rooting up a yard, trying to find more grubs that are gone. So,
great.
If you've got a bad mole problem, you got a grub worm problem, then basically your yard's a buffet for the moles. So you want to try to dry up the food source a little bit and get rid of them with a repellent at the same time.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
And,
that answers.
And your name, please?
Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. She's got some tough problems to deal with.
Weeds in the vegetable garden, a lot of times it's just a matter of culture and how you prepare the soil and how you cultivate it throughout the summer, and there are a lot of ways to control weeds, and in a garden, the one I like the best is a mulch, or a newspaper and mulch layer in there.
Mm-hmm.
Works very well, because it forms a very thin layer that the weeds really can't sprout through, and it smothers them out, and the mulch on top, of course, weighs down the paper.
Right.
And both of these work together to conserve moisture in the garden as well. and control the weeds. It looks nicer, too, with a pretty layer of mulch in your plants coming up and so on. But.
Okay. We'll take a break and take some more phone calls on the other side. 918-336-1400.
Fall has arrived, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is now stocked up on pansies, garden mums, ornamental kale, and more. Plus, new shipments of trees and shrubs have arrived ready for the fall planting season. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Now's the time to seed your lawn. Green Thumb has fescue seed and all sizes of five-star premium blend that will make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Green Thumb Nursery, open 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday, Sunday, noon to 5.
This year, the New Holland Value Bonanza sales event at Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville gives you more ways to save. It starts with New Holland Bonanza Bucks. Bonanza Bucks are like cash just for buying select New Holland tractors and equipment. And Value Bonanza savings continue with 0% financing or cash back in lieu of financing. Jensen Tractor Ranch can give you all the details, can help you choose from a long list of eligible tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. But don't wait. Value Bonanza ends November 30th, and the clock is ticking. Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville invites you to stop by today. You'll discover more smart ways to save during the New Holland Value Bonanza. The savings are bigger than ever for commercial use only. 0% offer subject to credit qualifications and CNH Industrial Capital approval. CNH Industrial Capital standard terms and conditions apply. Down payment may apply. Offer ends November 30th, 2015. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
(918) 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers get you on the air for Green Country Gardener on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1. And we've had a good smattering of phone calls yet, but still a good opportunity for you to give a call in and be a winner this morning.
Okay. Yeah. Pansies are one of the oldest cultivated flowering plants around. Did you know that?
I did not.
Their exact origin can not really be pinpointed.
Okay.
But the crossbred varieties with which we are all familiar come typically from Buckinghamshire, England.
Okay.
So we consider the pansy of British origin. Now, it started out, everybody's familiar with the Johnny Jump Ups.
Yep.
That was the original pansy.
Okay.
And they crossbred and bred it around. And I've got it, they grow wild at my house. I got actually, we dug them up from my wife's aunt's place over in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, I want some of those. I said, they're just all Johnny Jump Ups. I know, but these are special Johnny Jump Ups.
They're hers.
They're hers. So we dug them up and planted them in the garden. And,
yeah.
And then we moved, and I dug those up, put them in the garden now, and then we have Johnny Jump Ups.
Cool.
They come up in the yard. They come up in the cracks in the concrete.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come up where they're supposed to. And that's kind of the origin of the pansy. And it just went, crossbreeding, it just went crazy with it. So, kind of the same thing with tulips, but they're from Persia and Asia Minor.
Really? I would have guessed Amsterdam.
That's where they do very well, but they typically come from the Mediterranean area like that, and Constantinople, so places like that. So, and there's quite a history on those, and actually it was the thing to do to have tulips, the latest variety of tulips. Back in the 17th century.
Hmm.
Yes, with the Baroque people and all that. Just kind of the la-di-da time.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the latest tulips, you were really quite the uppity-up kind of person.
Wow.
So anyway, that's a brief history on tulips and daffodils. So enjoy them. We've got some good ones at the nursery.
Like we say, this is about prime time to start getting them in the ground, isn't it?
To get
them in with some bone meal so they'll have what they need in the spring.
It is very, very prime time. And actually, in doing some landscape work, we come across them now and then, and the roots are really starting to grow on those spring bulbs.
Okay.
So if you haven't transplanted them, maybe a little bit too late, but you can get after it real quick.
You said you've got a good selection of bulbs right now, though?
Mm-hmm. Pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
Just a few of them we don't carry out. The latest and the greatest striped tulips for your Baroque friends in the 17th century, but we do have some good ones.
I'll have to take some Jan Peters on Sveilink music out there and play them to the tulips.
Well, of course, your tulips will be featured on the front page of the paper. Yes, the Tarbellite tulip.
My mom had a great crop of tulips that she did virtually nothing to. They just came out and were beautiful every year.
There are some varieties like that, the Gregeye tulips and the Darwin tulips repeat very nicely here.
Okay.
Most of them don't, but those two varieties do rather well. So, okay, we were talking about landscaping in the yard, and call them. I can come out and do a plan. I've got to still have some on the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a caller.
We do have a caller. We'll say good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener. Good morning.
Good morning. I've got a question. We have like a stampede of bagworms going all over our yard right now.
Congratulations. It's Western Heritage Weekend. What a great time for a stampede.
Yeah, I didn't see any horns on them, but my
Look
wife
close.
Wants to know how we can get rid of them or prevent them from going on the deck or even crawling up on the house.
Do you have a hose-in sprayer?
Yes.
It's a little one of these little plastic spray things with a little tank on the bottom of it that you can regulate the flow and all that.
Yes.
Put half Dawn soap detergent in it and half water. And set it on a medium to a high setting and spray them. Their metabolic rate is so high that if they are without oxygen for a fairly short period of time, it'll kill them.
Mm, okay.
It's a very safe way to do it. And it's very effective, too.
How much soap do you add to, like, a quart?
3 tablespoons to the least.
Okay, that's not much.
Yeah.
All right. Also, is it time to fertilize trees?
Yes.
And I have an area that has a little bit of Bermuda, and I've got some leftover weed and feed. Do you think that would work, or should I use something else?
Keep the weed and feed away from the trees on a concentrated basis.
Okay.
Typically, a weed and feed has an ester form of 2,4-D in it, and it kills weeds by using vapors. And it probably won't, because of the stage of development in the trees at this point, it probably won't cause a lot of harm, but it could cause some tip damage and cause some emergence issues in the spring. So you might want to refrain from using a weed and feed. Use something like a 10-20-10 or 13-13-13 on your trees.
Okay. is that close to what we need to put on the fescue?
Fescue, yeah. Fescue, really, it's the nighttime temperatures really aren't very cool yet, so you want to refrain from a lot of nitrogen on your fescue at this point. So use a fairly even ratio fertilizer right now on your fescue. And,
okay.
If it cools down, because if you spur a lot of growth on it, it tends to get susceptible to fungus, especially if the nighttime temperatures are above 48 degrees, which they are. Is that a run-on sentence or what? But anyway.
I always end up being the whipping boy on this, the weather stuff.
Yeah.
Not enough water,
it's
too
your
much
fault.
Water, too warm.
But anyway, when the temperatures get in the 50s on a consistent basis, go ahead and put a heavier nitrogen application on your fescue grass.
All right. Well, yeah, I've got like a fescue on one side and then Bermuda on the other side of the lawn. So
yeah.
I guess I'll have to buy two different types.
Well, don't fertilize the Bermuda grass, really. It's kind of senseless to do that now. It's not going to grow, and it's not going to reap any benefits. It'll just leach.
Oh, that's where the tree is. I want to fertilize
it. Okay, well, for the sake of the tree, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Try to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, you bet. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, and your first name?
Ray.
Ray. Okay, Ray, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll take a final break and take your phone calls in just a minute.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Now, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And we have some open phone lines right now. Opportunity for you to get your question in with Larry and get the best answer available on the radio this morning.
I took a close look at the grass at my house, and I hadn't really noticed that the chickweed and the dandelions are coming up yet.
Good.
I still think we have time to put a pre-emergent for those.
Okay.
So as we talked about earlier about the protamine and whatnot, mm-hmm. If you really don't want too many of those, I really don't have much of a problem with them at my yard, but just enough, especially kind of to the south end where the wind comes up the road, I get a problem with crabgrass and stuff like that.
Well, and you've said before that one of the best things to prevent weed growth is a healthy lawn.
You bet.
You know, fertilize the heck out of it and keep on going.
Well, to a point, yeah, but not right now. Okay,
good morning, caller. Well, I saw them lined up for call, but they didn't stick around very long. So we have some open phone lines if you'd like to get on the air this morning, 918-336-1400.
Okay, so we talked about fertilizing grass, and we touched on fertilizing trees and shrubs. Mm-hmm. It's a good time to fertilize your shrubs, too, your andinas and hydrangeas and azaleas and whatnot. Give the azaleas a mild application, especially if they look bad.
Okay.
And hydrangeas, wouldn't hurt to give them some fertilizer. And fall blooming things like burning bush might help them a little bit too. They got a little scorchy from all the heat and the sun and all that too. So I think that in this neck of the woods, burning bush is almost a part sun phenomenon rather than a full sun where it is further up north.
Yeah, okay. That would make a difference. Good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. I've got a maple tree that's sprouted up close to the house, and it's time to get it transplanted, moved away from the house. It's getting too big for me. But
right.
the roots are right on top of the ground, and they sprawl all over the place. Is it worthwhile to try and transplant, or am I just going to lose it?
If you wait after we've had a really good hard freeze, your chances of it surviving are better, so it doesn't shock the tree as bad.
Right.
Can he do but any... Let's go ahead.
How big a root ball should I take?
It depends on the trunk diameter. About how big around is the trunk on it?
Oh, that's probably about 4 inches, 5 inches.
Whoa. I would say that's just a likely candidate for a chainsaw, really. It's not going to transplant. You know, don't waste your time. Because the roots on a tree that's not been root pruned, they're all really far out. And
right.
If you cut all that off, there's not enough storage in the root to make a recurrence. So it's not going to make it.
Okay. And also, I lost the mother maple tree years ago. Had some sort of stuff popping up on the bark. I don't know what it was, but it seemed to take the tree out. And a maple tree's pretty hardy.
Yeah, that sounds like a shelf fungus. It comes out, and it looked like kind of like orange peel stuck to the side of the tree.
Right.
Yeah, that's a shelf fungus, and that's evidence of dead wood inside. So if you see that on a tree, and it's pretty close to the house, and it's kind of big, you might want to call a tree man.
Okay.
Because the middle of it's rotten.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, your first name?
It's Kurt.
Kurt. Okay, Kurt, thank you for calling.
Appreciate the call, and sorry about the pending loss on your tree. It sounds like that's going to...
Yeah, the trees in the wild, you see them all as beautiful out there growing in the woods. Let me just dig it up. Well, in that situation, because of the varying soil moisture content, the tree has to survive. It has roots to go way out over there. Typically, nursery trees they're treated with tender, loving care, and they have not a care in the world, kind of like a house cat. And they...
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with them, and they can be transplanted easily.
Well, they were grown to be transplanted. You've kept the root as confined as the tree will allow.
There's a deal of a root pruning also.
Yeah.
Now, Carl Whitcomb has come up with a way to aerial to root them, to grow them in a more or less a weed mat bag.
Okay.
And actually, we followed through with that a little bit in some of our bigger trees, and they've done very well. But anyway, right now, we got another minute.
Yeah.
So some of our larger trees, if you go out back, you notice there's a wire cage around them. There's a weed mat liner on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you pull that liner out, you have roots over there, but they're not big. They just kind of stop right there. And then it makes it branch out. So they establish real well that way. So it's a very smart way to grow trees outside of the ground is in a permeable layer like the weed mat. Because once it hits that air, they won't grow.
Yeah.
And they don't tend to wrap when that happens, too. They don't wrap around the pod. They just sort of stop.
Interesting. Okay, so invitations for people to stop by Green Thumb Nursery this weekend and see all the green growing stuff?
You bet. We have seven people and seven giveaways, so we'll just alternate.
Okay.
Sue gets some vegetables, and Chris gets some pansies. Mike gets vegetables. Larry gets,
you
veggies?
Were on pansies, yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't care either way. Doesn't matter to me.
Barbara gets the vegetables, and Ray gets pansies, and Kurt gets the vegetables.
And I get a sharp shovel.
You get a sharp shovel. See you next week.
Not feeling well? Visit Bartlesville Urgent Care across from Washington Park Mall. This is KWON Bartlesville.